I'm Huey, the comic half squatch and high commander of the Blast of Stasha comic book review show on YouTube, and I support Janax Grownup through Patreon. You can too by going to patreon.com/JanaxGrownup.
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up. Your dinner cannot just be French fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up Podcast listeners, to episode 105 of the Gen X Grown Up Podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, is George.
Hey, how's it going?
And, of course, Mo is here.
Hey, everybody.
In this episode, we'll watch the new film that reveals the origins of one of the most mysterious characters in the G.I. Joe franchise, check out a nearly 40-year-old piece of Atari computer tech, and we are recording live on the floor of the Southern Fried Gaming Expo.
Is that what that sound is?
That is the noise that you hear in the background, and we will share our experiences with a special guest host a little later in the show.
Stanley?
Wow.
That would be a
that
miracle.
That would be a hell of a trick, actually, right? Sir. Recording this in 2021 as we are. No, it's not going to be Stan Lee. But better than Stan Lee. You're not
really?
Disappointed.
Okay.
Better than Stan Lee. It's high praise.
It is high praise.
Yeah.
But yeah, as you said, Mo, if you hear anything in the background, it's because we are once again, we are here actually recording on the floor.
That's awesome.
As everything is swirling around, people going by, you might hear a little music in the background, and people running by, people screaming, babies crying.
Yeah. It's one of our rare get-togethers where we're all three in the exact same location.
Yeah.
As well.
And why waste it? Why waste it? I mean, that's part of it's the life of this show, so capture it.
Sure.
Before we get into the body of the show, all the good stuff we have to talk about, it's time for some fourth listener email, and I've been looking forward to talking about this one for a bit, so.
Oh, God.
This is from Jerry.
Oh.
Jerry wrote in.
Oh, now, Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry.
Jerry.
Yeah, Mo knows Jerry.
Mo knows Jerry.
So the subject of Jerry's fourth listener email is more listener appreciation email.
Okay.
Nice.
Jerry says, hey, what's up, guys? It's Jerry Williams, who's written you once before, and I'd like to believe the email instantly became a top five of all time due to the subject material referencing Moe's features before actually seeing what he looked like.
That was great.
And what was that again? What did he say?
I happen to remember
it
exactly.
I believe it was redheaded.
Freckles.
Acne.
Bad acne.
Bad acne.
Yep. 24-hour cosplay.
Yeah.
Alfred E.
Newman looking. That's right.
It was scarily close to reality.
Right. So maybe he's trying to make penance for that. I'm not sure. But he went on to say, he says, well, I'm a digital artist, and I created some Funko-esque type designs for you guys, because if you ever had Funkos made, I'd instantly place an order. And boy, did he create some art. Oh, my goodness.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was fun because he sent us over just the head of
the
Funko
the faces. Right.
And he sent us individual ones, and then this one where he had all three heads with a Gen X Grown Up logo in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool. And then he said, you know, if you guys are interested, you know, I can always design the bodies. Well, I'm like, yes, please.
Yeah. And he did.
Twist our arms.
Yeah. And he was like, what things would you like to have that your character would be holding?
Yeah.
So I was like, well, my guy needs to be holding a baseball bat and
a comic book. And that's what he did for you.
Yeah.
It was amazing. What a digital artist Jerry is.
Right, absolutely.
I was just stunned with that. I know I was saying that I didn't think I would ever be the subject of fan art.
No.
But if I had to be, it turned out pretty darn well.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, if it had to happen, I'm glad, Jerry, that you did it, because it could have gone horribly wrong.
I say we name him our in-residence artist for Gen X Grown Up at this point, because that's some pretty stellar stuff that he designed.
Yeah, he
really
did.
Yeah.
And that's the funniest part, though, is how he did the Mo pre-version.
Yeah, he did the Mo Chaser.
He did a Chase figure. Basically looks like Alfred E. Newman.
Yeah.
He did.
It was funny. No, it was awesome, though.
It did. Yeah,
it
Jerry,
amazing
stuff,
work.
That's really cool. I think, in fact, we're going to try to work that into some merch, possibly, maybe some stickers or stuff
in
the future.
I have been desperately searching
how to make custom pops.
I know,
right?
But
you want to do it right, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, I want Funko to produce them.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Making phone calls
really cool. So Jerry wraps up his email. He says, it's all basically a thank you for everything you guys do for us. Thank y'all, and stay blessed forever. Fourth listener, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I showed it to everybody that I knew, and I'm like, can you believe this? Can you believe this? What somebody wrote in for? Mm-hmm. You know, and I wrote back to him, and I said that it's a clear testament that someone would spend that much obvious talent, time, and effort on something like that.
Yeah.
That it means the show means that much to him, and that's really flattering to me.
I'm floored.
Huge. So thank you so much, Jerry, both for the art, of course, and then for writing in again. We sure appreciate you. We appreciate it every time the fourth listener takes time to write in. If you would like your email featured here on the show, it's easy. Just hit us up,
podcast@genxgrownup.com. We read every single one, and most of them, like Jerry's, especially if you have accompanying fan art, will make the show, guaranteed. All right, with that good business behind us, man, we are here on the floor at SFGE recording together. It is time to jump into the meat of the show right after this break. Stick around.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Califato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show, too. It helps more than you know.
Chances are, when you think the bargain bag has made it, it's still got a long way to go. Glad trash bags have 3 plies of StressFlex plastic to stand up to life's little tumbles. Why take chances? Get Glad.
We have spent the last few days here on the floor at the Southern Fried Gaming Expo together. But leading up to that, we did take some time to consume some media. Could be TV shows or comics or books or music or whatever it is that we've been checking out. I want to start with you, George. What was on your viewing agenda?
One of the items on my looking forward to list last time that was a very unique looking forward to list. Nobody else was looking forward to the same things I was. I was looking forward to Lower Decks Season 2.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I got to watch Episode 1 before we came out to the convention, and I wasn't terribly impressed. Maybe I was building it up too much in my mind. It was a little draggy, but I loved the first sequence. The first sequence was a lot of fun, a lot of action, exactly what I expected it to be. After that, I almost kind of lost my pace a little, lost the pace of the show, lost my interest maybe. I'm really hoping it starts to pick up, but for me, I would give it like a 6 out of 10, which is not good, and I'm sad to say that because I love the series.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, actually. I mean, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't as what I was expecting.
Right.
You know, like, it was missing something, and I'm not sure exactly what. Maybe it was like the characters weren't as, I don't know, something was there. I mean, I'm hoping it gets better. I'm sure it will, actually. I feel pretty confident about that. But yeah, it was just lacking a little bit.
Maybe I didn't care as much about it because the people that she was messing with wasn't her main friend who was on the other Riker ship.
Yeah, we were missing Boimler the whole episode. That was a big problem.
And I think their interaction, especially in the last half of the first season, really amped everything up for me, and I wanted to see more of that. I knew he was on a different ship. Mm-hmm. We knew that from the end of the first season. But yeah, I don't know. I felt like we could have had a little bit more. Hopefully episode 2 or 3 will start to pick up the pace a little bit.
I also found it pretty underwhelming. I watched it too. We were amped. I watched it with my wife, and I'm like, man, here we go, Lower Deck season 2. We got to the end of it, I'm like,
exactly.
I feel like we're just getting going. Like, that whole episode felt like the opening scene of the season, and we really haven't gotten going yet. We just really barely scratched the surface.
I totally agree. But you know, again, fingers crossed, I think it'll get better. I mean, the show definitely deserves a pass, right, for one episode.
You know, if it gets better, great, I'll continue to watch it. If it doesn't, it'll free up more time for me to watch other stuff at this point, because I'm not going to spend a lot of time on something that's not doing better than it did in its first season.
It earned a lot of goodwill for me, so it's got a little opportunity to
pick it up. Yeah, I give it 3 or 4 episodes.
It wasn't awful. Yeah. It just wasn't
fun enough.
What we expected.
All right, John. What I was looking forward to. What about you?
We went out to see a film. I forget which film we were seeing, but you know, they sometimes run ads for TV shows in front of films.
Yeah,
now.
Sure.
You know, what's coming up on HBO Max or on FX or whatever. So I saw a trailer for something. I couldn't tell exactly what it was, and then I saw the name Taika Waititi on the screen. I'm like, now you have my attention. Now I want to know. He's everywhere. He's been in everything.
Yeah.
He was the bad guy in Free Guy, which was great. You talked about the Hunt for the Wilder People, you know, that thing.
I mean, so he's like the Samuel Jackson of...
He's in everything.
He's everywhere.
But sometimes he's director, something. Anyway.
Yeah. And you're kind of fixated on him like you are, you know, Shyamalan like a Ding Dong guy.
I am, right?
Actually, I'm getting that way, too.
Except it's all hits. Well, like Shyamalan. he's banging homers every time. So the show that I found, it's called Reservation Dogs.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
Some kind of play on Reservoir Dogs?
It is exactly a play on Reservoir Dogs. It's interesting because it's a setup that I'd never seen before, and it was Taika Waititi putting it together, so I was really interested. The concept is it's centered around these 4 young teens, probably like 13, 14 to 16 era, in that range, and they are all Native Americans, and they live on this reservation in Oklahoma.
Okay.
And it's kind of a slum. Like, it's not well upkept. It's not going great for them.
I saw that trailer. I remember it now.
And so they're pulling light crimes to try to raise money to ultimately get out of the area. The characters are great. Every now and then something happens and the main kid, he kind of, like, one time there's a drive-by with paintball guns and they get shot and kind of falls and knocked out. And he has a vision of this Native American guy who rolls up on a horse and he's like, oh, are you Running Bear? Are you this guy? And he's like, well, no, I'm not. I knew him, but I'm not him. Says, I was at the battle. I fought Custer. So did you fight him? Well, no, I came over the ridge and my horse stepped in a gopher hole and crushed me. But I was there.
I was going to fight.
He's kind of like this funny Indian guide who's telling him, you shouldn't leave the reservation. You're leaving these people. This is your land kind of thing. But it's set in modern day and it's centered around these kids. And it's really just everyday kid problems, but set against the backdrop of kind of the Native American struggle and kind of doing these little crimes that they're doing. And they accidentally got the name of Reservation Dogs because they didn't have a name for their gang and somebody made it up for them and they're not really fans of it. It's an interesting little show.
Huh. You know, I applaud that we're finally getting to see different cultural experiences in our TV shows and our movies, and it's being portrayed by people from that culture.
It is, yeah.
Because
it's cool.
How often has we seen a show about an Indian and it's like a guy in red face or something? I like that we're finally giving the opportunity, and I think it's because of the way that you can consume media. Mm-hmm. If this was still all broadcast television, you don't get the show.
Right.
Yeah. And now that you've got cord cutting and streaming services and everything else, now people are more willing to take chances on this kind of content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it sounds intriguing. So is it like a comedy? Is it a...
It is a light comedy.
Okay.
I would call it a dramedy? I mean, there is drama going on, and people have real problems in their lives.
But it's not like slapsticky.
It is not slapsticky. Okay. Right. I've watched the first three episodes so far. There's some really good characters they brought in, and each episode kind of goes in its own little path and has its own little story, but it's clearly serialized. There's stuff going on in the show. The third episode is probably the weirdest so far. They go to meet up with his cousin uncle, a guy who they knew, an older gentleman in their family who really isn't related, but they're all kind of family because they treat each other that way. And he's in his yard digging up some old marijuana that he had in a jar, and he goes back in town to try to sell it. Nobody wants it because it's really old weed, because now it's legalized in Oklahoma. Nobody wants to buy his old junky weed. But it's a story of like getting to know older people in your family and, you know, getting to know the history and that kind of thing. All along, these kids trying to make a way for themselves in the world.
Okay.
It's a neat show to watch. It wasn't really anything. If you had told me the premise before, I wouldn't have watched it necessarily. Taika Waititi was my path in.
Absolutely.
He got me in the door. And now, whether he was there or not, it's a really good show. So okay, I'm in for the long run.
Yeah. He's developed enough street cred with me that if he something with his name in it, I'm probably going to watch it.
He gets a try.
I'm going to give it a shot. I'll definitely give this a shot.
Reservation Dogs on FX. I do recommend it. Mo, how about you? What are you checking out?
Well, okay, this is going to be weird. So here's a movie we saw coming out because it had trailers forever. Snake Eyes.
Okay.
I love Nicolas Cage in this movie.
Yeah, different one.
What?
Different Snake Eyes.
It's not that Snake Eyes?
No, not that Snake Eyes.
No, the Casino?
No, not that one. No,
Carla
no.
Guino?
So
no?
This is the G.I. Joe Snake Eyes. And it's like his origin backstory movie.
That old chestnut. Okay.
And so I was kind of like, the trailers looked really good, right? But I'm like, okay, it's a trailer, right? You can make anything look good in a trailer. I watched it, and you know what? If you just ignore the fact that it is based on G.I. Joe characters, they'll just stay as a movie, just as a standalone movie, it was actually pretty dang good.
Okay, so I'm going to, because you're the G.I. Joe guy of the group, and so I'm going to ask you, if you don't ignore that it's a G.I. Joe franchise.
Oh, that's interesting.
Is it still good? Because for me, I enjoyed it, but... Yeah. You've got more of the G.I. Joe experience than I do.
Yeah, actually, I think it's a G.I. Joe. They had enough in it because basically it's kind of like Avengers sort of thing, right? Where they had the main character, and then they kind of like, they mentioned S.H.I.E.L.D. a little bit.
Right.
So this one is his life story, like how he became who he is. But then they start bringing like some elements of G.I. Joe so that if they tie it later, it won't seem forced. Like, you know, there's enough in there to kind of help establish.
We've talked about that before. So there's the Marvel franchise rules, right? Give the characters their movies, then come in with the Everybody Together Avengers movie. Versus the DC, which is just throw shit at a fan and hope it sticks.
Or the stupid Mortal Kombat approach, which is just throw crap at the wall and the crap sticks, right?
I think in this one, they seem to be going more down a Marvel route if they're trying to build a universe. Do we know that?
I haven't heard one way or the other, but I'm going to tell you, if they are, it's a good start.
I thought so, too.
It's like, for once, like these characters, especially this particular character, I don't know if you've watched the G.I. Joe cartoons, he was always guy, had a mask.
I always thought he was blind.
Yeah, no one knows who he is, all this stuff, so you kind of see who he is now. And, you know, the very end end, he gets like what he wears for G.I. Joe, you know, that kind of suit. But up until then, it was a decent storyline, had some really good acting in it, and the action was pretty damn cool.
And not to give too many spoilers, because this movie is a fairly recent movie. I mean, I liked how they introduced characters of the organizations as tangents to the story.
Exactly, exactly.
But they weren't focal points, but they were in there enough to go,
now I see where that's going to come
in. Like they create a little spur.
Right.
And they're like, oh, we could grow something off of that if they wanted to later. Okay,
oh, here's so and so, and they're part of this organization. That makes sense. And it wasn't forced either, actually. It did fit right into the story.
And I mean, it wasn't, if you're a fan of G.I. Joe, the cartoon, comic books, whatever, there's nothing in this that surprises you for those kinds of references, right?
No.
None of those, like, you know who this guy's going to be, you know who that lady is, you know, that kind of thing. But never having seen his origin story or heard it before,
I don't think he ever had one, actually.
I never noticed it anywhere. I was really compelled, given the whole Channing Tatum G.I. Joe films that were awful, right?
Yeah. It seems like hopefully they're ignoring those.
This is a great rebirth of that.
Yeah. Wow.
This could be second place for me in movie universes right behind Marvel.
Yeah.
If they continue to do it
right. With this quality. Yeah. If they keep it up at this level. Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know anything about G.I. Joe, really. I didn't watch the cartoons that much. I didn't even watch the Channing Tatum ones, quite honestly.
Well, you didn't miss anything.
No.
You said you enjoyed the film, and I'm like, what's in it for me if I'm not a G.I. Joe fan? Yeah. And that was his thing. He said, it was a good movie if you ignore the G.I. Joe-ness of it all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, now you have my attention.
Yep.
And frankly, that's what got me to see Iron Man in the first place. I knew nothing about Iron Man. But people said, well, it's just a good movie with Robert Downey Jr. I'm like, okay, maybe that's what it takes.
Yeah. If they keep it up again, because this wasn't a one-dimensional character anymore.
No.
Right? Now you know his story. He has a history. You understand what he's about.
You get some motivation.
Motivation why he's doing this. If they don't screw it up, which can totally happen.
We're off to a good start. At least they didn't screw it up out of the gate. They didn't stumble coming off the blocks.
I think it all depends on second character.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That second movie is going to make
what's the follow-up?
Right?
Yeah. What's the sophomore effort?
Yep, exactly.
All right.
So we'll see what happens.
All right, man. Thanks, Mo.
Sure. Snake eyes. Snake eyes.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On Press Box Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you around on Press Box Access.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
Hello. Ed's book on advertising says the consumer will remember your TV commercial better if it has a memorable visual device. Well, the message we would like you to remember is to be sure to enjoy Bartles and James on Ice this summer. You cannot find a lighter, more refreshing summertime beverage. As for the visual device, Ed says you will probably be able to figure that out all by yourself. So once again, please remember Bartles and James on Ice. And thank you for your continued support.
So while we're at SFGE, let's get into a quick tech and toys.
Yep.
All right.
And I actually have some tech, believe it or not. Traveling to Atlanta to come up with tech.
Did you buy
I'm starting to believe it.
No. It's actually something I have back at home.
Okay.
It's nothing amazing, but it's pretty cool. But I'm going to let you kick it off, John. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so I have literally a piece of tech that is now just a toy at this point.
Okay.
But it's a fantastic new addition to my collection and didn't pay a penny for it, which makes it even better.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it's no secret that my daughter is one of the best daughters in the universe, and she works at a used video game store. Mom and pop store, not one of the behemoths, so she's not part of the evil conglomerate. Anyway, being working there, people bring in used stuff all the time.
Right.
One thing her store does not purchase, though, is like old computer games and computer toys, like Atari stuff, things like pre-90, they don't even care anymore.
Right.
But collectors do come in often, and so in working with one of these collectors, he knows that her dad was a huge fan of Atari computers.
Right.
And he had a bunch of stuff, and he had like given me an old 410 cassette deck in the past, because he had an old one, which is nice. But he had a unit that he's like, you know what? No one wants to buy this. I'm moving to Europe. I can't take it with me. I have this thing I want to donate to your dad if he wants it. And she came home with this giant box and said, close your eyes. She brought it in, set it in front of me, open your eyes. This thing is probably 2.5-3 foot long, 10 inches thick, this box. This is an Atari 1200 XL computer from 1983.
Yeah. Well, now, I'm going to suggest suggests it's probably not, because he originally said, I have a piece of tech that's now just a toy.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
It could be functional, but here's the thing. So this initially came out in 1983. I was a huge user of Atari 8-bit computers, my Atari 800, my 800 XL, the 130XE. At the same time, George, you were using Commodore 64. You were into Apple mostly, Mo. And I love my Atari 8-bit. But this 1200 XL, this was on the ragged edge of the Atari computers. In 1983, this was the upgrade to all the ones that I had.
Right.
When this came out in 83, it cost $1,000. That's almost $2,700 in today's money.
Bargain at twice the price.
Almost as much as George's new computer.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, 64 kilobytes of RAM is a real bargain.
No, that's true. True.
Imagine what I could do with that with YouTube videos. Lord.
Oh, man. I never would have owned these before, but what this was, it belonged to a university. It was still in the box. A little torn, but you open the box, it was still in that big vacuum-formed foam.
So never used?
Oh, wow.
You open the foam, it's still pristine, no yellowing. I don't think it's ever seen the sunlight.
Nice.
I think they opened it, they put that ownership badge on the back of it that says, you know, owned by this university.
Right.
They probably used it for a semester and then upgraded to IBM's or something in 84, 85.
And stuck in the closet or something.
And stuck in the closet. I tried to power it on, it does power on, it doesn't pass the self-test. It needs to be recapped. You know, capacitors go bad and that kind of thing.
Right.
So you ask, does it work? Doesn't work today, but it's not like dead.
Right,
it
just
needs a little TLC. I never thought I would touch one of these things, because once I got past the 80s, I'm like, well, I couldn't afford one.
Right.
It's out of my reach, and now they're collector's items.
Right.
I will never see one, let alone in pristine condition. Now I've got, thanks to my daughter's connections, this
Very
Atari
nice.
1200 XL
I'm just
collection.
Waiting for your daughter to find Uncle George another Commodore 64 so I can get back into my old days.
I'll put it on the wish list for you, George.
Yeah.
See what she's got.
Do you happen to know how much these are going for today?
You know, I did the little search, but nobody has one in this condition.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going for at least $700 as they stand today for just one that's laying in a bag. And so, but it doesn't matter to me. I don't want to sell it.
Oh, no, no, no.
It's not going anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, it was a great find. I was so happy to do that.
Wow.
Mo, how about you? What did you said you had a piece of tech. What did you have?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to step up my video games here for our YouTube channel, so I've been doing a lot more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I hate is like my lights, because I had the lights with the big covers on them that you put the diffuser on and all that stuff.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
And they're great, except they take space.
Yeah.
Because they're huge. I mean, they're a couple feet long.
Right.
They just take up a lot of space. So I found these LED lights. They were basically newer. Is that how you pronounce that? Newer.
Yeah, a lot of things from them. Yeah, good stuff.
They had a two-pack of LED lights. It came with a set of two with stands and a whole bit.
Okay.
And let me tell you, man, these things are dang cool. You control two levels of lights. They have the warm and the cold lights.
Mm-hmm.
And you control both independently. So you could just turn both up.
So you can mix a color.
You can mix the colors if you want. Super, super bright. They don't heat up like my old ones did.
Of course, not at all. Zero.
Because they LEDs. My old ones, actually, I was like sitting there, I'm like, why am I sweating? And realize that was because of the lights.
Right.
And they take up almost no space. The stand takes up more space than anything else. You know, I mean, because they're only about like a foot across.
Right, yeah.
But
are these like circular or
square?
No, they're square.
Square,
okay.
And man, let me tell you, these things are bright.
Yeah, I had some similar to those for the Comic Sans video shoots that I used to do. I had the squares they set up on the stands, and then you can level them up or down, and you have the warm through the cold.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, they're very useful. They're great for tight spaces.
Yeah.
And not heating up is an awesome feature, because lights in a studio.
Yeah.
In a small space, especially if you have a dedicated studio.
Right.
If you're like
right.
leveraging a room in your house or whatever. Yeah. Space to where to put them, and then the heat and everything.
Right.
And just, thank you.
Now it's like if I have to move them, it's just pick them up, move it, not a big deal. So now the thing is, I don't know what to do with my old lights, but still, who cares? I got new lights.
Hello, eBay.
Yeah. Right. They ran about $160 though for the two.
Okay. Ooh.
So it's not cheap, but I also said that, you know, probably I didn't want to get cheap ones, because you know what bad lighting could do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a pain.
And I like the fact that these actually had the warm cold lighting settings, you know, because it makes you look a little less washed out.
That's
and the
right.
color just a lot better. So I'm real super happy with them.
We'll throw probably a link to that down
Absolutely.
In the show notes, right? So
yep.
the new dimmable bicolors. I've never seen the square ones and the mixing light. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I might be a buyer. I got to check that out.
All right, cool. So that's what we got. So how about you, George? What do you got for us?
Yeah, so because our next segment is going to be strictly SFGE, I think, I want to get through mine really quickly. So I just picked a very small little thing that I got for my 50th birthday, still on that list.
Oh, yeah, the list of all the gadgets you've gotten. Yeah.
I got a Funko Pop that I didn't even know existed until I did some, you know, Amazon searching and rifling around, mm-hmm. and it popped up as one of the suggestions. And I don't know how they knew we owned a grocery store when I was a kid or how I loved these products, but there is a damn slush puppy Funko Pop, and I now have one.
The puppy? The
little
dog.
Puppy, and he's got the little drink in his hand, and he's got his little toboggan cap with a little puppy thing on the top. Love my little slush puppy Funko Pop.
It's an adorable idea, but who would think to do that?
I don't care who thought about it. All I know is I own it now.
They started digging in on a lot of advertising icons. Yeah. I've seen them like do spam. You seen that one? Like a
no.
Like, yes.
What the hell do they do for spam?
He's like a guy with legs and arms and he has a can of spam.
Right.
I've seen him do Otter Pops and stuff, but the slush puppy, I didn't even know he existed.
He's already a pre-made character. Right. He was on top of all that.
He's got a can of spam.
And we owned a slush puppy machine as part of our grocery store, and I love slush puppies to this day. I know exactly how to mix them. I know exactly what you're supposed to do, what flavors to use, which ones are the best combinations. I've been a slush puppy fan since I was probably 8 years old. And to know that I can't afford a machine, because I don't know if you've been out there looking, but I went looking after I got this pop. A machine right now is about $8,000.
Woo.
So I'm like, yeah, probably not.
I haven't been in the market for a slush puppy machine lately, but
I'm telling you.
They still have them out there?
There's still a company. Slush puppy still a company. They still sell them. They got a tabletop version. They've got a full stand height one, like the one we had in our store. I love slush puppy machines. One of these days, I'm going to be able to afford one. It will be in a man cave for me. I will have slush puppy machine in there with the mix and the drinks. But for right now, I got a cool as hell Funko Pop that I can put on a shelf and stare at and enjoy for at least the 10 years it'll take me to save up for the machine.
On your way to buying the machine.
His 60th birthday.
Thank you, Funko.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on cannedairpodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com.
Taste the rainbow of fruit flavors.
Taste the rainbow.
In Skittles.
Skittles.
All your favorite fruit flavors.
Taste the rainbow.
In Skittles. Colorful candy shells with fruit flavors in the middle. Strawberry, orange, lemon, lime in Skittles. Bite-sized candies. Taste the rainbow of fruit flavors.
Taste a rainbow.
In Skittles.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we're at SFGE, and
we're down
to play some games.
And that has happened.
It has. We've been playing games every single minute that we're not sitting at our table trying to sell Rubik's Cube.
We're doing podcasts.
It's been a lot of fun, though, right? And I think probably the most fun that I've had at this particular SFGE are the people that have stopped by the booth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
In particular, one who's here special guest hosting today.
Long time. I'm a friend of Gen X Grown Up, a good friend of mine. MC Murr is here. Murr, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. Just thrilled to be here.
My Filipino replacement brother took care of the seat and kept it warm while I was in the Philippines hospital bed.
Right?
Thank you, sir.
Our standby fill-in host. And our regular SFGE stand-in host. Awesome to have you here with us.
He was a little sad when, you know, we found out George was coming back, though. So.
All good things must come to an end.
He's like, how's George doing? Oh,
it was
great.
Sad that George's collapsed lung healed and he was able to come back to America.
I mean, who saw that coming?
Murr, you were here this weekend as a guest of SFGE, and you had what may be my favorite panel, including ours.
I think yours
was a little bit better than ours was, where you talked about the road that you've been on with collecting and reselling games, and you have amassed an amount of knowledge now on this subject that I haven't seen rivaled anywhere in any of the people I know. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing on your channel. You know, it's been a while since we've had you on.
Well, we're really focusing in on the flagship of the channel, which is the flea market flipping.
Right.
That has been the focus, and, you know, it's always been what I've done most of and what I've cared most about. Mm-hmm. It's taken quite a while to cultivate a dedicated viewer base to that topic, but I feel like we have that now, which is everything I always wanted. So now we can really lean on that as hard as we want to. But that was the focus of the panel this year, too, just in light of all the changes that have happened in the market since 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we could have just had another collecting panel and just talked about collecting in general. But yeah, it's such a different climate out there. It's such a different market. And it's changed all the behaviors that you're going to have when you're out there, boots on the ground,
mm-hmm.
hunting. And that stuff I want people to be equipped with. That's something I think my show really illustrates in real time, week by week, as we find these games that we either can't believe are worth something now when they weren't before, or we find stuff that has shot up way beyond what it even was before if it mm-hmm. actually was valuable to begin with.
One thing, listening to your panel, that I knew from your channel, but I never really like connected until you said it, was that really this is a mechanism for you. You're not trying to like house flip and I'm gonna make $1 million. You're basically just trying to make enough to kind of help pay for your own collection, right? Help increase your own collection.
See, now you stole the thing I wanted to talk
oh,
about.
Sorry.
No,
stop thief.
No, because that's the truth. So what he's saying is exactly right. Murr, I was listening to the first 5 minutes of your panel, and the first 5 minutes like, damn, he's never going to stop talking. We're not going to have a chance to ask questions or anything like that. And then 10 minutes in, I went, oh, God, please don't stop talking, because I'm learning a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And it started to click on me when you, like Mo said, you talked about how you used the cash to fund other purchases. I'm like, this man just saved my marriage. Because how many times do I want to go buy the Retrocade Cubert cabinet for $150? And I go, honey, can I have $150 to buy this silly thing that's going to sit on a table and make beeps and noises? And she gets like, okay,
right. But if you've been flipping stuff and building a bankroll that you can then reinvest in the things you want for your collection,
mm-hmm.
make your hobby pay for your hobby.
It's
right?
Like
that's the angle.
My old poker days when I would go to all these little local tournaments, I had this spreadsheet. I started off my bankroll with $50 of my own, and I went out and played poker, and I came back with more than $50. Then it was a positive night. It went in the spreadsheet, and I was able to track it. I can do that now with the tools that you've given us.
You really can, and that was a topic for one update episode that I did in the not-too-distant past. And I realize I'm not the only person doing this, but you know, we actually took a look at, for the first quarter of the year, how much free we had acquired. Because from every haul, no, we don't keep everything, obviously, but mm-hmm. I've got the keepers segment. We mm-hmm. look at, you know, 2, 3, 4, or 5 things. It's like, you know what? These are staying with me because we're already in the green on what we got today. And that's kind of how you gauge everything. So, I mean, doing it this way, you don't always get exactly what you want, but sometimes you do. You just have, you know, a range of things to pick from. Every week's like its own mystery box, mm-hmm.
right?
You know,
right.
And you get to decide what things you're going to keep because, you know, you have no money in them. So, you know, what we had for the first quarter of the year was probably enough to fill a little, you know, waist-high $50 IKEA shelf, you know. And again, all free stuff. And, you know, you got options. Doing it this way gives you options. If you want to sell that whole thing for what it's worth and go get that one crown jewel that you really wanted, you can do that too. But yeah, at the end of the day, you're collecting, you're getting more games than you're still probably ever going to have time to play.
Yeah.
But you have no money in it. Your food, your gas, you know, everything is just covered.
Well, that's what I love.
Because of the demand.
You're finding ways to make money on stuff that we enjoy having anyway.
Right.
Like, I can go buy 700 pairs of gloves at Walmart for a certain price and then put them up on Amazon as a reseller or something, and I can make money that way, but
I don't have any interest in gloves.
No, I don't like that. I don't want to spend the time. But send me to a Goodwill or send me to a flea market and tell me, go find Nintendo games or go find rare PS2 thing or whatever. That I can get behind and get into, because it's kind of like a challenge. It's a little bit like a hunt. I love that you're doing that. And I'm so glad we got to see you here at the show and listen and learn.
Well, I try to take the perspective, too, of, and I think you heard this refrain sung in the panel. We were talking about the things that you most commonly find.
Right.
Because, again, I'm not the only person that does this, but I see a lot of channels that, you know, 3 times a week they're saying, you know, 50 sealed N64 games found at Goodwill. First of all, no, you didn't find that. You're fluffing your content, and that's fine. Do what you got to do, but we need to talk about the things that you will commonly find, because that's what you're going to find when you go out there. That's what you need the knowledge.
Right. You might have fun watching what somebody said they did, but that's not what you're going to experience when you go out in the wild. So you can apply that knowledge.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you won't have a... I mean, I've had amazing days where I found tubs and tubs of Nintendo stuff, and it's just, you know, great. Best day ever. But you need to prepare for the so-so and even the light weeks, because they're still profitable and they still keep you in the green. They're still part of that equation that end of the year you've ended up with, you know, so many things that you have absolutely no money in. I think it makes everything really approachable and realistic, and I think that's helpful for anybody that's new to it or just getting in, you know.
So your panel, obviously very informative, a way for us to fund our addictions.
Right.
so quite helpful. Save George's marriage, as you said.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Yes.
Before, when we're looking forward to SFGE, one of the big things about it is getting back together with friends and meeting old friends and meeting new friends and stuff. We get to see Murr again, of course. You know, Murr is here.
Year and a half out.
Yeah. Almost two? Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah. I know you're big into Dungeons & Dragons. I know you're going to meet your crew at D&D here. Did you get a chance to hook up with your boys?
We did, and the focus this time was to get the one thing done we haven't had time to do the last two times, which was the miniature painting. They have a great program here for that, where I think they've got a lot of the pieces donated, but you can go in there and donate to them $1 or $2, whatever you feel like, and they provide you with the miniature, the paints. They're actually doing a class on it that, again, that's all part of it. They're just showing you what to do. I just went in willy-nilly. I didn't stay for the class or anything, but I found it was actually easier than I thought it was going to be, and I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, it's time-consuming, but that was the one thing we wanted to make sure that we did this time, and we all were able to get in there, pick out a mini, and kind of get our feet wet in the painting part of it, which is a big part of the passion for a lot of people to play the more tabletop-oriented role-playing games. I mean, not that D&D isn't, but, you know, some of those things like Warhammer and Battletech, all about the minis,
well, that touches on the broad spectrum of things that are available here at the show. I mean, we focus on, yes, they have a huge arcade with the stand-up machines and pinball machines, of course. You know, we talk about, you know, the vendors area that we're a part of, but there's all these little areas like painting minifigs. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's the immense board game section where you can go, and now they scan your barcode on your badge to register you and borrow a game.
Yeah, like, so the board game section, they allow you to, if you play certain games on certain days, you have an opportunity to actually win that game and take it home. Grace and I did the last time we were at SFGE.
That's awesome.
The way they used to do it was you write your name down on this little card, and then you had to be present when they called your name. Not anymore. Now it's all high tech. They've got an SFGE app that has like a Twitter function that we've been using all weekend. But one of the other parts is when you check out one of those games, they scan your badge, which has a little unique barcode on it. And then if you win, you just check the app and go pick up your game whenever.
That's awesome.
That app has been pretty darn cool too.
Yeah,
like they set that up like a mini Twitter almost, a little social environment.
That's what I've been doing.
It also has like reminders. You can put what events you're interested in, and you could like choose, like, oh, I want to know 15 minutes ahead, 30 minutes ahead. It was very helpful. Really well done.
I went to the Gen X Grown Up panel, 1 star, would not attend again. You can go in and do that if you want to.
You're the one, huh?
I'm the one, right?
It was fun. I mean, and even things that you would not associate with a convention, the one thing that my wife and I like doing each time we come is the wrestling. They have professional wrestling both on Friday and Saturday nights here, and they're a decent organization here in town. You know, it's one of the smaller groups, so it's the guys who are getting trained, but at this particular one this year, they actually had a former WWE wrestler as part of the show card, and it was awesome. She had a great couple of matches and talked with her for a couple of minutes last night when I saw her, and it's that kind of experience we haven't been able to do because of COVID.
That's right.
We haven't been able to come out and do this stuff and see these things, but more importantly, we got to do some more meeting of people at this convention.
So it's about the people. The games are the catalyst. The games are the lubricant to give you something to do, to hang out, to enjoy together and share. I mean, obviously, Murr, again, also here in Atlanta, one of our longtime fans and supporters, Butter Spider, came out. He normally is a Dragon Con guy. We met him at Dragon Con. He came out. Yeah, we saw him. He came out he brought the whole family.
He did.
Spent some time with him.
Yeah.
Yep.
He had a good time at the panel. His daughter, she was really fun to talk to.
Oh, yes, she was.
Awesome. Awesome.
It was great to see another Gen X parent raising their child
in the ways
of nerddom. I enjoyed that.
Yep. Well, the guys from the Project Gen X podcast came down from Tennessee.
Yeah.
Right.
They drove down all the way down from Tennessee to hang out. Alan and Big Dave, they're
great guys.
Involved over in the Discord server. They're getting their own Discord server spooled Build Up, another right. good podcast to check out. We'll put a link down in the show notes for you. But we got to spend some time with them. We talked to them before, but never spent any time together. Great couple of guys to come. And they came from Tennessee, but they do not get the reward for the furthest travel, do they?
So, yeah, absolutely. This person went through lengths to surprise us as well, which is funny, you know, because on Discord channel, he was like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm going to miss it.
Jealous.
I'm so jealous, I can't go there. Yeah. Da, da, da. And he was even like commenting as he's like walking up the stairs here, apparently.
Right.
And guys, at one, he's wearing
a
mask.
Got to the table wearing a mask.
Yeah.
So it was even more difficult to figure out who it was.
And he's sitting there and
asking
like,
questions. And, like, and then he made a couple of comments and you're like,
who? What?
And then it started to dawn. It was Stu Baga.
Yeah.
All the way from Texas.
Yes.
Him just to join us for the SFGE. And
it's a wedding anniversary too, right?
Yes. We actually rated higher than a Hawaii trip. They pushed their Hawaii trip to next year.
I don't know if we rated it higher, but.
No, that's what he said. That's what they said. He said, I told my wife I want to come to SFGE to meet the Gen X guys.
It was Hawaii deferred.
Yeah. Hawaii deferred.
Hawaii deferred.
I'm taking that as a win. You guys can.
I'm taking it.
An excuse to meet some of the guys. And especially, it's almost surreal, to be quite honest.
Like, yeah, right.
Because,
yeah.
you know, up until now, he's just been like a virtual person, you know, like online. We chatted all the time. We're always commenting on a daily basis.
Sent us a
much.
Video for the anniversary show.
Yep, right.
I mean, it's great to see the people coming out. Out and having the opportunity to meet them again. We don't get that opportunity. Most everybody we know is virtual space.
All digital. Yeah.
So in-person contact is, well, not
and,
contact.
That
and
Murray,
you
know, when you get to meet and know people online, that's one thing. And you could be text buddies or you could be chat buddies or whatever, but there's that extra level, right, when somebody is a fan or a friend or whatever, and then they actually make a concerted effort to meet up in real life because they actually become a genuine, like, real-life friend.
Yes.
Like, that says something for just kind of what the engagement is for the content, and it's so validating, isn't it?
It was great. I mean, it was great to meet Stu in the flesh. Inubito was here. He's a Twitch streamer. He was there in my panel. It was great to see him again. Some of these guys are here every year. So, yeah, getting to meet them in the flesh definitely makes a difference. And, you know, what's interesting to me is that the bulk of your YouTubers out there that go crazy for all the cons, this is the one that doesn't get talked about yet. The other, and I'm not trying to put other cons and expos down, but I am going to tell you that a lot of them that I see on the surface really look like just big eBay holes, right? They're just people with tables that do the same thing that I do on a larger scale.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling everything at 20% over eBay, and that's it. That's the con, right? And then everyone goes there and pays over retail for stuff, and yay, had a great time. But like you just touched on with the wrestling, everything that's going on here, the major regret you'll have at SFGE is that you have but one body to give to all the things that are going on here. I mean, you've got sessions for so many different games, Magic the Gathering, D&D, stuff you never even heard of, and, you know, Pathfinder, et cetera, on all these tables, and you want to be a part of all of it, but it's just 3 days.
We were on at 4 o'clock yesterday, Saturday, 4 o'clock. That's a good slot for a panel.
Mm-hmm.
And there were three other panels at that same time zone, and I wanted to go to two others rather than sit in on ours.
Is it? Yeah, it's insane.
Right.
Interesting stuff. I mean, they do a great job. They have a great film studio thing that they go on where it's like a room that just keeps running stuff all the time. And
they
had a group that the Ballad of Pinball, Bobby or Ricky or
they dropped off a copy of their film for us, right? So we didn't get to go to the screening, but they were going to take a look at it. There's just stuff around the clock, but it doesn't feel smothering like Dragon Con.
No.
It feels like you could cherry pick the things you want and see. I could see this easily stretching into a little bit of like a Thursday Friday or a longer Friday, something. I hope they do in the future.
I had that in my mind. I told you that before. I thought this thing started on Thursday, so I was like, we got to get up there quick. We're going to be late.
That's just wishful thinking.
I would like to see an extended remix of the SFGE. If they want to add a day or even two, you know, to it in the years to come, that certainly would not hurt my feelings.
Well, and they have the right facility. For the size they are, they have the perfect facility.
This is a good size.
You got the hotel.
Nice.
The rates are reasonable, especially for the block that you get, considering the upscale
awesome
hotel.
Too.
They have decent food prices. They actually, kind of rare for a convention, they make specials in their on-site restaurant that are cheaper than their regular menu.
Yep.
You don't see that at a convention.
They're like 30%, 50% cheaper than the regular menu.
Yeah.
And just if you're here for the show, we have a special menu printed on just just a photocopy paper. If you want that, you can do that.
Great.
Yeah.
Usually my daughter, she's here with her family, and they actually went and they had fun with like this company that's building like their own new role-playing system.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they had like a little trial. They ran through an admission, and they asked people opinions and like, hey, how do you feel about this? And how can we improve? And because they're going to have a Kickstarter later this year, but they wanted to get the game kind of fine-tuned before they get to that point.
We've seen that at SFGE with some of our independent video game creators, right? They use this convention to get feedback from playtesters, you know, in real time. You know, Kartik and Twin Cops, who unfortunately, first year in five years, they haven't been able to make it because they were moving. Kartik, we miss you. That's how they got Twin Cop to the place that it was.
Yeah. It's a nice springboard.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a great con. It's a great time to come out and meet people that we haven't gotten to see. I mean, we even had people who were lurker watchers, like Retro Rick, stop by the table and said, hey, I've been following your guys' stuff. And this is a fairly big channel.
Yeah, big time tuber. I'm like, well, again, he's hit us up, man. Right. Let's get together.
And he subscribed. He got one of John's famous I Subscribe stickers, apparently.
Yeah. Let some of that love rub off on Gen X Grown-Up, man. Right. Hit us up. We did finally get a chance, ultimately, in the evenings, and once we shut down the booth, to hit up the arcade. I've been kind of glossing over it, but
that's
it's one of the
focal point.
It's one of the highlights for me.
And it was open until midnight.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's awesome.
Now, I'm old. I didn't stay there until midnight, but I had a good time staying until 10 or 10:30 or so each night. Oh, somebody was joking at me, like, yeah, you come all this way, get all this stuff, and you went straight to the damn Donkey Kong. But that's that's the point.
Right?
That's why I'm here. I love going, and we talk in our panel about how important just playing those things, putting a high score on there. They leave the machines on all weekend, and the high score sticks.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. So let's talk about Gen X Grown Up high score. So we have a thing that if any of the three of us get a high score on a game, we put GXG in there.
Yeah. Yep.
So let's run down the list. Mo, did you get any high scores this weekend?
No, I got top 10, so I able to put initials in.
That's okay.
Okay. So I got on Asteroids.
Nice. Okay.
Put one on there and pole position.
What'd you get? What position did you get on those?
I got third on pole position and I got fifth on Asteroids.
Okay. Solid outings.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. What did I get to do? I did they had two Donkey Kong machines. I got first on one of the Donkey Kongs. It was like a low high score. And they got second on another one, but it was like an 89,000 score. It was really good. High score on a Donkey Kong Jr. I got like a top 10 on a Joust, pretty high up there. Murr and I got to play some Joust the other day. Spent some time getting high score on Fix-It Felix Jr.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, one of those machines.
Yeah. Actually, that was a real game from Gen X.
Yeah, it wasn't, but it's from Wreck-It Ralph, so I had to play it.
That was a funny experience. I'm going to tell the story a little bit. So John and I were trying to get hooked up. John and Murr were playing some games. I was walking around solo. I was trying to find them. Finally hooked up. We were walking around, and John sees, they've got Fix-It Felix. I'm like, yeah, that's been here the whole time. He looks at it. He says, 38,000. That's not a great score.
That's not
for
a big deal.
Game.
Yeah, it's easy.
And I'm like, well, I feel like you have work to do then, sir.
Yeah, okay.
So he sits there and starts playing, and very quickly realized you don't generate score very fast in that game. There's no bonuses for completing
the
level.
There's no timer. Yeah.
There's no extra amounts that you get except for like a window here you get 500 points for. So it's 100 points at a time.
So it's kind of a grind.
It's a grind. It is a grind, yeah. And you'll stay alive for a long time to get to it.
And I love John gets to within like, I think it was within 10,000 or 5,000 points, and he had like seven men built up mode.
Oh, okay.
He's doing really good. Yeah. Six men
and they start dropping like flies. I couldn't stay alive.
One man left, and he's within like 1,000 points or so, and I'm keeping track, and I don't want to say anything to him because I don't want the pressure.
Right, no bad juju. Right? Don't jinx me.
So he gets up there, and he earns an extra man or two, and right as he got that third man, he went 100 points over the high, and I'm like, yes! But I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah.
Right.
So he ended up posting like 12 grand higher.
Yeah,
then
I hit that second win that did okay. So but another GXG for the record books.
Yeah.
Yeah, put it
absolutely.
Up there. Yeah, and you got some too, George, right?
I only got two.
Okay.
I got in Mo's game, I got Robotron. I got a fifth place on that one.
Okay,
on the today scores, not the all time. Yeah. We know how hard that board is to get into. But then I did play Galaga. I found a Galaga Cabaret cabinet.
They didn't have a Galaga last year or last time they were
this
here.
This time they have like four. Yeah. There's four
they
Galagas
fixed the
out
problem.
There.
Yep.
But I had never played on a Cabaret before. That was unusual for me. So playing on a Cabaret, it's a much smaller screen. The buttons are a little bit different. It's a smaller play field, so your hands are a little bit closer together. And I was looking at a 225,000 something high score. I'm like, okay, that's level 25. That's very doable.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't fast shoot or anything like that. I'm playing. I'm having a good time. I've got my four or five ships built up very quickly, getting my perfect scores on my challenge stages. I get to level 11. Two damn messengers come out and kill my doubles. Just like that. Crap.
You pulled a John on Fix-It Felix.
I did.
Start joking on one level. Oh,
I
damn.
I did. So then it was a Rev 2 B board, I think, because level 10 is supposed to be slow field and no bullets during the, and this one wasn't. It was a fast field with bullets, and I'm like, oh boy. Okay.
It never ceases to amaze me how he knows even the revs of the boards.
I know.
But when you're that committed, I love
that
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I ended up only getting second place, 100-something thousand. I was very disappointed. disappointed. Posted it in the Discord channel. Apologize to the Gen X Grown Up Universe, but
only in the top 2 percentile, not the top 1 percentile. Sorry, everyone.
You know, it was terrible, but
oh, it was very respectable.
But I did have a good time playing games. I played more pinball this time than anything. I made it a point to play pinball and cabaret because I can't play that anywhere else.
Yeah,
I can play stand up arcade anywhere.
Yep.
So I wanted to play the stuff I couldn't play. That was
makes
so
sense.
Much fun. SFGE allows you to do that.
Yep. Mur, what did you play? Did you put some high scores on anything? Did you put the Mur tag on any of the games?
I definitely did not do that. I'm always the one just running crazy, and it's no different than when I was a kid in the arcades. I try to play it all, and because I play too much, I never master anything.
Right.
But like George said, I did play a lot more pinball this time, because like you say, you can't do that at home unless you happen to have a machine, and even if you do, you don't have all those machines. So they had the new Mandalorian machine there. I hadn't seen it. Was able to play it, the Led Zeppelin, the Turtles one. Just really cool stuff. Now, I did get on some machines that, you know, games that are better on machine. I played some Outrun. I'm a big Sega head, and I'm definitely going to be better on that game at home on the Master System, on the pad. But still, there's something so great about playing it with the wheel and the gear shifter and all that.
Right.
And
yeah.
Mo mentioned Pole Position. I definitely leaned in on some of that, too. That was always a Showbiz Pizza favorite, you know, especially the one you could actually get in and sit down. This wasn't that, but
no.
It was a stand-up one. But still, the wheel, the gear shifter, it takes you right back to where you were back then. You know, even if you're not going to play your best with those controls, because it can be a bit touchy when you're used to just, you know, playing home versions and whatnot. It's still just, it punches the feels, right? You get in there, and it's exactly what you want it to be. So, was able to play some of those. We played a little Gauntlet. Was able to play some Joust with John there, and of course, he did much better than I did, but still.
And by the way, I did take him out on the Gladiator wave.
He did.
Oh. And I felt a little bad. It was his last man, but 3,000 points is 3,000 points. I mean, wow. Come on.
So you didn't feel that bad.
I didn't feel super
yeah,
bad.
The right thing to do is to.
Good to see you in the last year and a half.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're dead.
Crushed.
got to take one for the team there. Oh. But
fun time all around, though, right?
Oh, it really was.
My cheeks are hurting. I'm smiling from just talking about this. We're recording this on Sunday morning of the event, and it's kind of, a lot of it is kind of in the rearview mirror a little bit. It's kind of melancholy.
One thing I want to bring up, though, I want to shout out to all the people attending SFGE.
Oh, yeah.
Wearing masks.
That's right. Yep.
They have been
very diligent.
Very diligent, very conscientious of it. And so that's awesome.
At this point, I'm already looking forward. I'm like,
next year.
What's coming next year? And I'm ready to see that coming up.
Well, that's a good thing, because that's the next segment.
That's the next segment coming up, too. So, Mur, thanks for stepping in and guest spotting with us here. We always love to see you at the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is part of it. It wouldn't be SFGE without being on the podcast, so that's a great way to wrap things up.
We love to have you.
And I definitely want to throw in, too, if I can, before we conclude here, that a lot of these machines are for sale.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
another part of yeah. the really cool part about this is, you know, I saw machines last night as cheap as $500, even $350
wow.
in good shape, in working order. So there's still this whole legion of people out there that thinks, oh, I got to spend $700 on an arcade one-up because real machines cost thousands of dollars. No, they don't. Okay. And, you know, there's deals out there to be had. But when you come right here, this is like a flea market of arcade
it
games.
Is.
I yeah. saw a few games that if I had a truck, I probably would have to take home right now. So, yeah.
You have to flip some more stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, it takes a little planning. It's not just an impulse buy at this point.
We have our arcade memories, and you go to them, but you can't take the games home.
Right.
So that's another really unique aspect of this con, and it's something I get really extra excited for every year.
Cool.
Stick around. We'll be back right after the break.
Coming up on 5-Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5-Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
Maxwell House is coffee you can count on.
Maxwell House, good to the last drop.
Maxwell House.
Maxwell House is
good every time.
Maxwell House is
good morning.
Good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
ADC brand from Maxwell House. Specially blended and ground for new coffee makers. A perfect taste and always good to the last drop.
Maxwell House is
good morning.
Good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
All right, before we wrap it up, we always like to take a second here toward the end to talk about what we're looking at or looking forward to now or between now and the next time we get together to record the show. And Mo, I want to know what you are looking at, man. What's on your horizon?
So it's a few things. One is I'm going to be fixing that D&D book nook that you made me buy.
The one that comes in pre-broken?
Pre-broken, ahead of time.
And
pre-quality. Something I'm also going to look forward to, which is that putting together my kids, my daughter's here, so she got me some of those Lego arcade things.
Those are neat.
Put together the Qbert ones. Oh, wait, I can't put together the Qbert one because somebody bought the last one.
Who bought the last one?
I don't know, John.
Wow. Dick move.
You should have pulled the trigger when they were there, I guess.
I got the other ones, though, so I'll be happy to put together. But the thing I'm most looking forward to
don't
is
don't trip
the,
much.
The next, if that comes up missing in your bag, don't blame me, is the Shang-Chi, the next Marvel movie coming out in a week. So definitely looking forward to that.
Yep.
So for me, I was at Walmart the other day. I actually ended up picking up one of those little tiny classic TVs that we've been looking at on the channel. But while I was there, I stumbled across another board game based on old classic video game. This is a Space Invaders board game.
Cool.
Now, I backed one on Kickstarter. This is not that one. This one looks so goofy, I can't wait to try it because it's actually physical. Like it has a little catapult that you have to flip bullets and hit the little aliens in the distance. It looks so dumb. I can't wait to try that out. But more than that, I'm looking forward to a new series coming out. And when I saw who was on the series, I'm like, I am sold. The series is called Only Murders in the Building. It's premiering August 31st on Hulu. Selena Gomez, starring with Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Oh. Huh. So two-thirds of the Amigos.
I know, right? And so the premise is they all are tenants of this building in Manhattan where murders are taking place.
Okay.
And so they didn't know each other before this, but they all get together trying to solve these murders, and they decide to then turn their investigation into a true crime podcast that they record about solving the murders in their building. And the trailers look really great. I mean, it's Steve Martin and Martin Short, so you can't really go wrong there. A little sitcom. I think it's probably a limited run thing. Who knows how long it'll run, but I'm ready to soak it up when it comes out. August 31st on Hulu.
Cool.
George, how about you?
Yeah, so I'm old, so the first thing I'm looking forward to is rest after this convention. I'm going to go back and spend 2 days just plastered to the bed. Then I'm also looking forward to Shang-Chi. I think that's going to be an awesome Marvel film for the next generation of films set up. You know, Black Widow was supposed to be the first of those. I think this is going to be a great new leaping off point. We need one of those characters, and now that we unfortunately lost the great Chadwick Boseman for Black Panther, I thought he was going to be the new Captain America of that next generation. But then I am mostly looking forward to irritating the hell out of Mo, because next time I'm going to talk about the American Ninja Warrior finals.
It's so subpar from the Japanese original.
It is not subpar at all.
Everyone has a tragic backstory.
If
it's
it wouldn't be doing the ratings that it's doing.
Okay, if you can use ratings as what's good and bad on TV, we got to be
just
careful.
Just saying, it's been on for 12 years. It's still kicking the butt in the ratings.
Anyway, okay, you know. I'm glad you like it.
I'm glad you like it.
I'm sorry you're wrong.
Yeah.
No, but I'm definitely looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a really good one. They've had a great season.
Mm-hmm.
They had to still kind of do COVID-y kind of things. There's no crowds still, but they've had more people at the competitions. They've done city finals, quarterfinals, semifinals. Now they're going to go to the Vegas finals, which is going to be fun. There's a good lineup of athletes there. Some of the main athletes aren't competing this year due to injuries and other things, so there is this huge upswell of teenagers. There's something like 10 sub-17-year-old kids going to Vegas for the finals.
Wow.
Both boys and girls. It's crazy. And some of them are beasts. Matter of fact, the last semifinal that just happened, the two final guys competing for the safety pass at the end of the show were 15 and 17.
That's just wrong.
and they blistered everybody in that competition.
Old guys are done.
Yeah, I want that 50-year-old guy to win or something. Yeah, yeah.
That's not
going to
happen now. That's over.
No, it's not.
That's over.
Yeah.
All right, that is going to wrap it up for episode 105 of the show. Of course, we'll be back in 2 weeks with a regular edition of the show. Mm-hmm. But next week is the Backtrack edition, where we take a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep. Next week, we're going to talk about something that is totally gone now.
Completely.
From the current mode of communication. That is the concept of long-distance phone calls.
Ah, our Dewey Decimal System part
the Dewey Decimal of the phone call conversation. Well, you had to be careful which BBSs you call, because it might be long-distance.
Right.
You had to do a prefix in the beginning, and every other phone call you got, would you like to change your long-distance provider? Would you like to change your long-distance provider? It's an entire concept of communication that is totally gone.
Yeah, totally.
So we're going to dig in on the concept and the loss of the long, for the better, I think, the loss of long-distance phone calls in our next Backtrack. I hope you will join us for that one. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know, I appreciate you.
Oh, absolutely. Always fun. I'm glad to be here.
And fourth listener, it is you we appreciate most of all, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washing shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Of the Gen X Grown Up Podcast, I'm joined. Who am
you're
I?
Joined.
I thought you were going to say you're a conjoined twin or something.
Yeah,
I don't know how that's working right now, but
I don't know where to go with that even. Stubaka. We already talked about you. Now you have to wait until the show comes out to find out what we said about you.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. Yeah. Well, it was actually pretty cool. I just posted a picture of you guys recording to Discord and got level 7 with that post. I'm like, that is so apropos.
Kismet.
I loved it.
High score in the Discord server.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.